Hello, welcome to God Day, and I pray you do have a God Day. And this is Derek Walker, the pastor of the Oxford Bible Church. And today I want to share from one of the miracles of the Lord in the Bible about how to receive from God. This miracle in Acts chapter 3 gives us wisdom and some key principles about how we can receive from God. And so let's have a look at it in Acts chapter 3 and read the first few verses to start with. It's about the healing of a lame man at the temple gates. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and that would have been between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning. And that was an hour, a special hour of prayer when the morning sacrifice was offered up. And so they would often go to the temple there to pray if they lived in Jerusalem. And it says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Probably because the ornamentation of this gate is particularly beautiful. And he was put there to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So there'd be lots of people coming and going into the temple. So it was a great place for him to do some begging for money to feed himself. And then we get into the miracle. Peter and John are coming. Now, first of all, let us just notice a kind of contradiction. Here this man is, every day probably, you know, he's at the greatest place on earth, really. He's at the temple of God. He's at the beautiful gate. He's at the holy place where God's presence is the greatest. And yet, he's lame. He's lame from birth. And this is a picture. Of course, all of us, in a sense, are lame from birth. Being lame means he couldn't walk. He couldn't move. He couldn't do, you know, he couldn't have a job or do anything like that. And there's, in a spiritual sense, even from birth, we are born in sin. And we are not able to serve God. We are not able to walk in the Spirit and to do what is right in our own ability. There are parts of our lives that are lame. And we might even be Christians and we dwell, as it were, in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. And yet, we might be like this man, that parts of our life are lame. We're not able to have good relationships, or we're not able to function well in our jobs, or in all kinds, you know, we might be good in some areas, but there are other areas where we are lame, and we don't function as we ought to. And we may have inherited that from our birth, as it were. But the good news of this miracle is that Jesus wants to heal us and to restore us so that we can walk in the will of God, that we can do God's will, that we can fulfill our roles in life as father, mother, and in, at work, in our friendships, and so on. So wherever we're lame, this is a message for us, because the Lord wants to heal us and restore us. Praise God. So there are certain steps by which we see this man receive his miracle from God. Step number one, let's read that in verse 4. It says, and fixing his eyes with John, Peter said, look at us. That's how Peter started. This man was probably just focused, his head was down, just hoping people would drop some money in his cup. And the first thing was to get his attention in the right place, to get his focus in the right place, and to look where the answer is going to come from. In this case, God was going to do it through Peter and John. And so he says, look at us. That's the first thing he does. He gets them to have the right focus, to look to God. You see, many people, they look at their problems. They look at their circumstances. But we all need to look at God, because God is the source of every good thing. God is the source of all grace. The answer is with God. And so worry is futile, because it's just focusing on your problems and your inabilities. Instead, you need to look to God. See, what you look at determines what you're going to receive. Are you looking at your feelings, your emotions, your problems? Or are you looking to God? The first principle of faith is that God is your source. You need to look to God. Put your trust in God. And so don't look at medical reports, bank accounts, limitations, problems. Yes, we're aware of them, but our main focus is on God. We're looking to God. And so God is the source of every good gift. And to receive from God, you must look to God. Let's just see a few scriptures on this. It's Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Psalm 34, verse 5 says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Isaiah 45, 22, God says, look to me and be saved. Notice, before you be saved, you must look to him. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So this is the first principle of receiving from God, is you must look to him. Then the second thing is, it's not just looking to him, but looking to him with expectancy. You see, expect to receive. So notice verse 5. So this lame man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from him. You see, this was necessary. He was looking with expectancy. And so we must also look to God with expectation. By the way, confident expectation is Bible hope. A confident expectation based on the goodness of God, the character of God. This is a posture of faith. We look to God with expectancy because God is good, which means he's generous and he is giving us his grace. And so this is not hollow, but it's anchored in God's covenant promises. He promises to be generous, to be gracious to all those who turn to him and look to him. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, we have to believe. If we truly believe, we come to him in faith, and that involves believing that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we come with expectation that as we seek him, he will bless us. He will reward us. He says, if you seek me, you'll find me. We see this in blind Bartimaeus. He came to Jesus with the expectation of being healed. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, came, sat by the road begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. See, he believed that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the son of David. And now, have mercy on me. And many told him to shut up, be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Notice, his attention is on Jesus, and he's calling out to Jesus. He's looking to Jesus to have mercy on him. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. See, when you are calling out to the Lord, Jesus pays attention. And it says, then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, now that was called the blind man's garment, the beggar's garment. And by throwing his garment aside, he was showing that he expected to receive. That he is not going to be a beggar anymore. He won't need that cloak anymore, because that's why he threw aside that garment. He was expecting to receive. And he rose and came to Jesus, and he answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" So Jesus wanted him to be specific. And so when we are expectant, then we should be able to clearly articulate what it is. If it's a burning desire, we should be able to articulate, not just generally bless me, but Lord, I'm asking you, this is what I need. And so the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." So he is asking Jesus with expectancy. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Hallelujah. Well, we see the same kind of expectancy of faith with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5. It says that she had this flow of blood for 12 years, verse 25. And the doctors couldn't help her. She just got worse. And then it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And here's the expectancy, verse 28. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She heard about Jesus. She knew he was generous. He knew he had healing power. She knew that. And so she turned to him and came to him, and she had expectancy. "I shall be made well." And immediately, it says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus said to her in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Praise God. So Proverbs 23:18 says, "There is surely a hereafter or a latter end, and your hope will not be cut off." You can have hope because God is good. If you trust in him, he will not let you down. Proverbs 10:28, "The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." So we focus on the Lord, and we have expectancy based on his promises that he will be kind and generous to bless us. Praise God. And then the third principle we see in Acts chapter 3, let's read in verse 6. "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" And the next principle is that God's power, God's blessing, is in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus represents his revealed character, but it also represents all he has done, all he's accomplished for us, and all he possesses. So within the name of Jesus is included everything that Jesus has purchased for us on the cross, that he now possesses as the perfect man. He, in the resurrection, he received every blessing for us. And that blessing is in his name. And if we trust in him, we can call on the name of Jesus and receive salvation and receive blessing and receive healing. It's all in the name of Jesus because he has himself purchased it and received it from God. And now we can call on his name and draw from what he has done from us. So that's why he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, your healing is in the name of Jesus. Jesus has accomplished it through his death and resurrection. It's in his name, and he's given us his name. And so in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so that's the key, is to realize that God's answer, God's power, is in the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus. And he has given us his name to call on, because it says, "All who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved." And that's what he said later in Acts 3, verse 16. It says, Peter explaining how the miracle happened, he says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." In other words, he says it was through the name of Jesus that this man was healed, and through faith in his name. And so that's the next key, is to have faith in the name of Jesus, that your answer is in the name of Jesus. It's in Christ. Praise God. And you have the ability to draw through faith, to draw on him by calling on his name. And it's interesting in Acts 4:12, when he's still explaining the miracle, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other than Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In other words, the name of Jesus contains salvation. It's Jesus is our Savior, and he has purchased and possesses our salvation, and this name has been given among men so that we can call on the name of Jesus and receive that salvation. And so the power is in Jesus, and it's accessed through the name of Jesus. And or we could put it like this: his power is in us because Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit. And so not only has Jesus got our salvation, but what, now that we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Christ lives in us, praise God. And so what he has done has already been given to us, and we have the blessing in the Holy Spirit who is in us. And so as we call on the name of Jesus, we can draw upon his grace and his blessing by faith. And so his power is already available to us through his dunamis power within. And as we believe, that power will be revealed in our life. And so we are already saved and blessed and anointed and redeemed and blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so all these things are in his name, and he lives in us. And so we can lay hold of these things, praise God, that he has promised to give us. And so that's why in Mark 11:24 it says, you know, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. These are things that are the will of God, of course, things that has been purchased by Jesus through his death on the cross. Well, that's the third principle. Now, the fourth principle is that we can release the power of God by words of faith. That's what Peter did in verse 6. He said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. You know, he activated this miracle through his words by saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And through saying that, in obedience to God, of course, he released the power of the Spirit that was in the name of Jesus. The name is the authority, and the Holy Spirit is the power. For example, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, this word for power here is dunamis, which really means potential energy. It's where we get the word dynamite from. If you see a stick of dynamite, it doesn't look powerful because it's potential energy. It has to be ignited for that power to be released, but it's there in potential form. So when you've received the Holy Spirit, the power is there in the Holy Spirit, and that power is in you and upon you, but it's dormant until you activate it. And it says, but it's power to be witnesses. So he says, the Holy Spirit come upon you and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. How do you activate that power? It's by your words. When you actually step out, believing that you have the Holy Spirit and that he is upon you, then you believe that as you witness to Jesus, that power will be released. And the Holy Spirit will be released once you obey and speak those words. So in a big way, that power is released by your words and by your actions, by your obedience. And so the blessing of God is in you, in the Holy Spirit, and you activate it by your words as well as your actions. So that's why it says, Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, you can release death or life through your tongue. The blessing of God is voice activated. God said, let there be light, and then that released the power of God, of his Spirit, to create the universe. And we can't do that, of course, but we are made in the image of God. So spiritually, we are able to, as we speak the words of God, we can release the blessing of God That allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us. It's all based on it being the will of God, of course. But if something's the will of God, by giving our voice and declaring the word of God, the promise of God, that allows the Holy Spirit to move freely through us, to bring the will of God to pass. And so it says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, you see. And Mark 11:23 says that whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, he believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So again, there is an important place for the fact that we release, when we speak the words of God, the words of faith, we actually release God's power. As Paul says in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession means saying the same thing as God, speaking God's word. When we do that, we release the power of God that brings salvation. All right, so that's the fourth principle. Now the fifth principle, obedient action is required. There comes a point when we receive from God that we need to put faith, put our actions to our faith, add actions to our faith. Verse 7 in Acts chapter 3, it says, and he, Peter, took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Notice, Peter didn't just speak to him, he raised him up. He helped him to get up. He's helping him to act on his faith. And it was while he was acting on his faith that strength came to his ankles. And then he stood, and then he leaped, and then he ran. In other words, there is a gradual process. But there comes a point where you have to move out of passivity and you have to act. Do what you can. And then God's power is released. As James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So there comes a point where God, you receive from God, and then God says, okay, you've received, let's say, you've received my power to forgive that person. But then you have to go ahead and obey God and actually do it. Or if you're receiving healing from God, he will tell you, well, now try do something that you couldn't do before. Take an action, even if it's a small one. And as you act in faith, the power of God can be released, as it was for this man. And so we have to overcome somebody lame all their life. You can imagine they're going to be passive. They're going to not do that. So that he needed to be helped and encouraged to actually take action. And as he did it, notice, the power of God flowed and he was fully healed. Praise God. So once you've come to God and received his promise, then ask, what action can I take to show my faith? And it's important that we cooperate with God. You know, as a quick example, in Luke 17, there was a story of 10 lepers in verse 12, and they asked Jesus to have mercy on them. And in verse 14, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. In other words, take action, act on your faith. And it says that as they went, they were cleansed. They had to believe his promise that he was healing them. And as they went, they were cleansed. So as they took action in obedience, then the power of God was released. We don't have time for it, but in 2 Kings 7, 3-8, there's a story of four lepers at the gate, and there was a famine throughout the city. And, you know, they decided, rather than just waiting there to die, they said, well, let's go to the Syrian camp. And they took action. Verse 5 says, and they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they'd come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horses of a great army. And they said to each other, Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact. And when the lepers arrived, they found all the food and that left there that they could enjoy the spoils. But notice, when did the lepers start their march on the enemy camp? When did they act? And they were acting on a prophecy of Elijah, who said, within 24 hours, everyone's going to be free. And so they took action, and they left at twilight, it says. And when did the enemy flee? The enemy fled at twilight because they heard the sound of a mighty army. Actually, it was the army of the Lord. That was making the angelic army of the Lord. So the moment they marched at twilight, God's power was released and the army of the Lord marched with them. And the sound of the army of the Lord caused the enemy to flee at twilight. So notice, the power was released through their action. And then just finally, the final principle is that having received from God, then praise and thank God. That's what happened in Acts 3, verse 8. So leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Praise God. And so that is the right thing. Keep praising God. Keep thanking God, because that keeps your focus on God, so that his power and his blessing can continue to flow. It opens the door for more and more of God's blessing. And going back to the story of those lepers in Luke chapter 17, there was one of those 10 who, when he saw he was healed, he went back to Jesus and he gave him thanks. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? But he was the only one who gave thanks. He gave glory to God. In verse 19, he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And what I believe this means is he wasn't just cleansed of the leprosy, that any of the rotting flesh was now cleansed and healed. But now fingers and a hand, let's say, anything part of his body that he lost through this leprosy, now it says, your faith has made you whole. In other words, he received full restoration of what he had lost. Whereas the others, they received their cleansing, yes, but the process wasn't complete because they didn't give thanks to God. But when you continue to give thanks to God for what he's done for you, then his power can keep flowing and he can not only cleanse you of the past, but also he can restore everything that has been lost. So that's important as well, that we know to cleanse God. So remember these principles: to receive from God, put your attention on God, expect to receive from him. And remember that everything you need is in the name of Jesus, and that you can call on the name of Jesus. And the power of the Holy Spirit can be released even from the inside of you, because it's all in Christ, and Christ is in you. Praise God. And you can declare and release the blessing of God by speaking God's words and God's promises. And remember, when it's time to take action, act. Put action to your faith. Whatever you can do, put action to your faith. And that will help you cooperate with God to release the power of God. And then, of course, give him thanks. Give him thanks. And don't wait for the full manifestation before you give him thanks. Just give him thanks. And that will keep the power and the blessing of God flowing. So praise God. We thank God that the lame man is, these miracles are given, that we might know how to receive from God. Amen.